Well, as I mentioned a couple of meetings ago, just to echo the young lady over there and the mayor's bodyguard, I have taken upon myself to speak to approximately 70 residents since this plan started, precisely about density. And I think that's what the residents and the single-family homes around these core commercial districts are concerned about. For example, in your literature, you mentioned in red that you're going to make provision for, you know, the hit to the traffic with parking decks and such. Okay, so that's taken care of as far as where you put the cars once they get there. But as you mentioned, we have congestion already, and nothing has taken place as far as building roads to alleviate the congestion, increase congestion. We are a cut-through area, as was mentioned by Mr. Dallas. Most of the traffic that occurs in Dunwoody that caused the congestion is not from Dunwoody residents. We could all agree upon that. But nevertheless, we're not going to bar cars from coming through. Isn't there, like you had just mentioned, a way to phase it in and use language such as only increase the density of this area after appropriate infrastructure improvements for the ingress and egress of expected vehicular traffic occurs? I mean, that's what the residents are looking for. Again, the chicken or the egg first. I have lived in, my accent belies what I'm about to say, but I've lived in the metropolitan area since 1974 and Dunwoody since 1986. I've yet to see a mass improvement of infrastructure for vehicular traffic in the Dunwoody area. I don't expect it to happen. I know there are traffic calming devices and ways to which we could improve it, but to increase density in Dunwoody Village or any of these commercially core districts around the residential areas does not make sense. Unless we try to address first.
My name's Steve Barton, and just to Bob Dallas, there's three legs. I've added that there's really a fourth leg, which is the market leg. It is who wants to invest money to redevelop any of these places that might be old and tatty. And if the zoning, the traffic, and the comprehensive plan don't make it marketable for anybody to invest their money to make improvements in our city, then that's not going to happen. I mean, they'll just stay like they are and get empty. It's kind of the history of old strip malls or old commercial areas. And I think, Bob, you really wrote something on that subject in the Dunwoody Crier year and a half ago, which really spoke to that. And it's something that, for me, the number one characteristic of Dunwoody is its two-lane roads. It's what's distinctive about this place. I don't really want to see that change, but I, for one, would like to see improvements in our commercial areas, and having a plan, zoning, transportation that supports that is the only way a business is going to come in here with money and make those things better.
Yeah. You know, I didn't speak with Steve prior to this meeting, but he literally spoke the words I was going to share with you all. I'm in commercial leasing. I handle tenants that want to relocate. Every one of them has got a dream of their own business, and they want to come to a place. And all I'm going to share very briefly with the group is that we have to not only think about traffic and things of that nature from bricks and sticks development today, but think about down the line in the future. Businesses are moving away from bricks and sticks. They're going more toward the internet. And we have to think about the type of things that are going to make our community differentiate itself from any other community and want to have new businesses, profitable businesses, the type of businesses that want to come here to rent our spaces. Because we can design everything we want, but if nobody comes, it's kind of fruitless. And that's all.
And some of you know this has been the core of this debate about Dunwoody Village, how do you manage all of these desires that you've got the reality of your traffic congestion, but some of you have also talked about how it will change in the future and what the Dunwoody Village could be as a place, a gathering place. If there's not other comments at this moment, yes, sir.
Just just have one to suggest for those that haven't come to all of the meetings.
Yes.
In your very early one or two, you very well did convey how the difference between density and height and all of that. I often find in these discussions of people lose sight of that and think because a building would be authorized to go as high as 5 stories, that would be increased density, as opposed to it has to be on a much smaller footprint if you have strict densities, so that you could provide green space and other things like central, a little park, fountains, whatever, to make it attractive. And if you could speak to that, if you haven't already tonight, please do, because that could be, some of us that have gone to all the meetings don't need this clarity, but I sense there's a lot of people here that haven't gotten that based upon their comments so far. They keep using the word density, but mixing it up with heights.
And we do have some graphics to cue this up, just on cue, to talk a little bit about how some other communities have managed that. And I do want to say we hear the concern. So it does sound like, well, one thing we want to walk away tonight is to talk about the density itself. What the images I'm showing you have to do with form and how maybe you could get, if you allow some height, but then not, but then allowing for open space as well. But I think what I hear is we do need to talk about how much density would be appropriate, and you still want to cap it. So just keep in mind what we're showing has to do with allowing height and to get a more open space and more pedestrian oriented.
What do you mean, taxpayer?
So some of the discussion, I just also want to let you know, because I think your council is really dedicated and committed to solving these problems. One, with doing your comprehensive plan, investing, and making sure we have lots of meetings. Two, your council also dedicated resources for a master plan. There will be more meetings to look in the next year's budget, a set of meetings for a specific master plan where it'll go look at parcel by parcel and look at some of the market information. So this won't be your only chance to discuss this area. And I wanted to differentiate tonight, we're talking about the big picture kind of policy area. You'll have more opportunity to talk about this important part of your city. You have that vision statement, we've already been talking about that a little bit. These are some of the drawings when we talked about thinking of how height, what can height change and achieve if you require other components. Right now, if you allow a lot of parking in front of a building, you lose, it's all about the traffic. A lot of folks have said, how can we create a place where people have more places to walk? That's a big one, and bicycles have come out and be able to bike and ride. So if you allow some of the density, I say density, but to have a height come up and concentrate, and you require parking in the back, suddenly you've got people coming into your life, your civic area, and your heart of the city. So it's a drawing showing how you can create new space if you allow some height. And how you want to privilege the pedestrian, how can we focus on that? You also have the issue to consider about City Hall. At one of the meetings, most folks said they love that the City Hall location in the future. Again, it's a 2030 vision. But the city of the Dunwoody Village should be your civic center as well. And how can you make that happen? So you're going to have to think and make choices about partnering, maybe. Maybe private-public partnering, investing in City Hall, but also allowing others to invest in your city to make this your civic center, the heart. Some of the examples the steering committee asked us to look at. I'll show you some graphics. But an example where these are higher buildings, these are two-story, and you see they don't have a lot of the parking in front. A lot of folks talk about that's the time of Dunwoody I want to see, where we're actually walking to places we have a chance to walk, and we have places to sit outside and meet each other as we go to our businesses or our civic, you know, activities, to the post office, our pair, our bills, or go to the police station. We can have, on this drawing, we have wider sidewalks, we could have the buildings closer to the sidewalk, and you also have space for bicycles to be able to go where else along with the pedestrians. Here's an example where, and I've got to make sure the graphics show the context. Don't just show that there's entire building. These buildings are three stories. But you're able to, by allowing the buildings to go higher, require, and in this case the city partner, it was a public-private partnership, the city works with the investor to say, we'll invest in certain parts and we'll allow you to invest and bring your businesses in, but we're going to create some open space and make sure that when change comes and new development comes in, we're getting some of the open space. And another example where you have, again, these are, that's two and three story buildings, four on the, some pieces in the, towards the rear. But there's also integrated, there's some lower buildings in the back. So there's ways to consolidate and get some height and also achieve an open space if that's what you really want for your, for the Dunwoody Village in the future. What you have now, this is just a drawing, this isn't a vision. I think people were confused when we used this graphic. This is a two-scale imagery. We want you to understand what you kind of look like now. Where it's a low-scale development, you see lots of parking area, and we just kind of gave some orientation there. If everyone know where they are, you see where Mount Vernon and where we are. And we were asked to go ahead and show a difference. So if you look at, if you allow some areas, if you lost some of the buildings, you lost some of the buildings, and you got, you gained some green space. You could, just because of examples. So where there were buildings back here, these buildings got higher up, gained some height, and then you could gain some more open space in other places. And so this is the way we were talking about, we heard folks say, well, if someone comes in and wants to invest in our city, what would be the rules for that? And what kind of, how could we gain open space? And also in that center triangle, there could be a great gateway as you come in and you, there are different buildings. Dunkin' Donuts, so there were a range. So from here, different ways to gain. This is your existing condition. So it's just to visualize as you talk more tonight about what you'd really like to see, what kind of parameters you want to hold, to visualize what area we're talking about from this, this bird view.
Here's what I see. I see what you have done there is now you can't widen the road. How do you ameliorate traffic?
Who wants to widen the road?
So this is our debate.
I know you don't want it, but to me, how do you you can't walk, well, it's dark. I'm not going to let my kid walk down there, but it's a 5-minute drive.
Yeah.
If there, you know, but could someone have a chair? You can
think about taking our cars and having it safe and an activity.
Right, but again, do you see bike trails there?
That's
the problem. Well, but you see what I'm saying? By having it right on the street, there's nobody can put in a bike trail. Well, the bicycles will be in the back. They won't facilitate transportation from other areas of the city. It's just a nice place to drive around once you're at
the city. You would want to add that, so you have the bike trail along there. And this was just a show for green space. And so I don't want this to be a vision. This isn't a vision. This isn't how you want your city to be. With an example of how can I envision how height and open space. I mean, for the things you're talking about, you want to make sure that you have the space and the streetscape available. So part of it is saying, if you allow new development, well, let's make sure our policy statement says there's connectivity, there's ways safely, with connectivity. Some folks also talked about, what about some alternatives? Some of the steering committee meetings, how about if you had just a pedestrian zone? Don't even let cars come into a certain set of blocks. Or on the weekend. There's a whole range of, it's not the biggest range that we'd like to have for alternatives, because we are confined about how others are using the streets here. But there are some things, if you think about 20 years out, what can we ask, how can we be creative with private-public partnerships? That's just one I keep saying. That's not the only way to come up with some of these ideas.
Can I make a very brief statement about the widening of roads, which primarily we're talking about Shambie, Dunwoody, and Mount Vernon. 1983, the fall of 1983, under the Maloof administration, Shambie, Dunwoody was scheduled to be widened to a four-lane road. And there were many of us who felt that was probably inappropriate, because even if it was widened, we still would have traffic, in fact, more traffic, because the nature of where we are, it would serve as a reliever for 285. And so no matter what you did here, realistically, it would never change it to be a less travel kind of road. So conversely, then, some of the things that we just discussed in terms of alternatives, I think are a lot of the discussion that we've had to say, what are the alternative things that we can do so that it's not as attractive to people who want to travel through, but it's more consistent with our values. So the things like Joe talked about with bike lanes or widening of the sidewalks that makes it so you want to use it from an alternative perspective are really what we're focusing on. So when you say, well, we're going to not be able to therefore widen the roads, let me just respond by saying, correct, but the alternative forms that would encourage you to either use your bike or want your kid to use your bike or to walk are very keen in terms of making this work at all. So if you don't, that's really trying to answer it from that perspective. But trust me, my good co-workers at the DOT would love to widen those roads in a heartbeat. Trust me.
Yes. Okay. Well, neighborhoods have to, there's an idea of possible having pedestrian linkages between cul-de-sacs between neighborhoods. If you live on the backside of Dunwoody Village, if your neighborhood agrees and make a residential connectivity so you can walk over there and back without having all the way around.
Private property. So unless you're going to condemn those buildings in the back and pay those people for those buildings and take it over by the city, which, by the way, I would be paying for, which I'm not in favor of, you know, as a taxpayer, those parks are not going to appear. And the concern is that those five-story buildings are going to appear, and I don't care how much brickwork you do or lamps and all that kind of other stuff, if you don't take down the rest of it, we've got more density without the benefit. And I'm probably not going to be here 30 years from now. My kids might be, but I'm not going to be. I'm looking for a quality life now, which is why I supported forming the city. You know, so when you start talking about five-story buildings and three-story buildings, I don't know if you can put it in the master plan. And by the way, I also do this for a living. I mean, I support the commercial real estate development. I always see the five-story buildings come up, and then somebody kind of forgets that this other stuff was supposed to be done. So unless you can write it right into the plan or into the law that it's a one-to-one trade-off, and I understand about attracting the new development, but I wasn't aware that downtown Dunwoody was such an overwhelming eyesore either. I mean, I know of a couple of buildings that I would prefer they weren't there, but the vast majority of it is kind of cute and quaint. And I think we've got so much so much population around here that when the economy picks up, people are going to remodel it like they did in downtown Norcross if we have a decent overlay, and you're going to end up with a nice community village. I don't see any rush to do it tomorrow.
Right, and this again, the 2030 plan.
Yeah, I'm just here.
No, thank you, I appreciate that. One question for clarification. You talked about the sidewalk, the walkability and all that. In your model, your business model, what is your median distance for walkability? Is it half a mile, a quarter mile, 5 miles?
It's a huge difference because
I listened to your speech for about 350 CID, and you're going to walk from Office Depot to Dillard's over to Ravinia and come back home. That's a pretty good hike. What is it in Dunwoody? Where's your start point? And you
normally,
just
to
look how we
just say a quarter mile, to walk is about 10 minutes to walk, and an average person doesn't usually walk more than 10 minutes. They may walk for recreation, but to get their groceries, they're not going to walk more than 10 minutes. And when you, so there is some numbers behind that. But we that's why we're here. You tell me. What do you feel is like a good...
More than a quarter of a mile from the farmhouse to the end of the
building. Right. Again?
More than a quarter of a mile from the farmhouse.
You wouldn't get the residential unless you went at least, I'd say, a half mile.
And for bikes, would that be a reasonable distance?
Bikes, you can coast at 10 miles an hour, and so you could ride in 15 minutes and be in a mile or 15 minutes.
What would you recommend that we are talking about?
That's my question.
Yes.
But you talked about sidewalks and bikes.
Yeah.
Is the bike and the pedestrian sharing the same walkway?
And that's part of the question that we want to talk about. What would you ideally like to see? It's more expensive to separate out and put a curb and separate a bicycle. Bicyclists don't feel as safe if you just draw a line and stripe it. But it's less expensive, and at least it gives you an option. And then the third issue is you can, and we could talk about this as a policy, although the state has a rule that says you can't ride the sidewalk where pedestrians are, the cities can write rules to talk about that and say, this city, I mean, it's got to be through ordinance. We can put in your policy statement, explore how the city can make sure bicyclists could share a pedestrian sidewalk. So at this level of policy level, if that's what you'd like to propose and recommend to your council, but then it could go through a regulation. So that's one of the things we can get into some detail, exactly that. What's the preference of ideal? For your options. Is it worth the money to invest and have separate curves for a bicyclist? Or do you think for where you are today or where you're going to be soon, it's sufficient to allow some sharing? Can I just get where I was just a moment ago? I'm sorry.
One comment. The question came up about the acquisition, whether it's green space or new sidewalks or the street lamps. And we just put in the budget that we just passed money for a for a study on impact fees, and some of our neighboring municipalities do impact fees, but that's one way. And again, and I'm not stating to anybody that we are going to do impact fees, we're not going to do impact fees, but this study will give us the data so that we can get more educated as a mayor and council on the subject. But the impact fees basically tax any new developments, and that money gets put into a pool for things like what we're looking at, whether it's acquisition of green space or to do some things where our budget might not allow in normal circumstances. So I wanted to throw that out. And the second piece is Mr. Robinson was explaining, like, the Domini Village Overlay District as it stands now, and some of our laws, like the Bank of North Georgia, the newest building that went up here in Domini Village, all of that streetscape was funded by them because it was part of the ordinance that was in place. So some of these things we can do when new buildings get put up, some of these things can go back on the developer, or it can be a shared responsibility between the city and the developer. Just wanted to throw those few pieces out.
We'll need to put that and back up your zoning, like you say. We thought about it, we planned it, it's our official policy, but we want to look at ways for developer to compensate and provide some of this infrastructure. So you want to have this kind of, at least a general infrastructure statement, even as you go through the year or two, what are the specifics next?
I want to comment on this. Bicyclists don't use sidewalks. I don't care how they go. It doesn't matter. They won't. Okay, I'm a bicyclist, and I take my life in my hands every day and try to ride down to the ACC on my bicycle. But Ross wasn't a good model. What they've done is, partner them with me up, they widen the road enough to accommodate a bicycle. And that's how anybody who's going to ride, say, to work, or to the road strip and cut that, they're not going to ride the sidewalk. It's not comfortable, it's not safe, and even without pedestrians. So that to me is a solution I would like to see, is to look at what they're doing over in Roswell for bike lanes and emulate that and just leave room, enough room on the shoulder to accommodate bike lanes. And I would have it throughout, you know, the whole town. It goes to the high school, it goes to all the other, you know, everything's connected.
No.
Yeah. Let's come up pretty dramatically, yeah.